it's time. It is that time. Time for Styles and Watkins.
You can join the show by texting 916-339-1140. Find us on YouTube at Sactown Sports 1140.
It's time for Alan Styles and Chris Watkins.
Yes, yes, yes. On a Wednesday, Styles and Watkins taking you up to 2 p.m. Chris Watkins, how you doing? What's
great.
So funny?
No, it's just this is the second time I've seen
2 days in a row.
At your watch to figure out what day it is. It's fine. I mean, literally, as we were walking back, me, Simone, and Brendan were walking back to our cars yesterday after the game. Mm-hmm. I straight up asked him. I was like, wait. Today's Wednesday, right? Like, tomorrow's going to be Thursday.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm so thrown off. But, yeah, no, I feel you. It really made me laugh.
That's what I'm saying. I try to do it. Subtly,
I know.
And clearly,
I'm sorry.
You're still catching me.
It made me
calling me
so
out
weak.
On sorry. The air.
I'm sorry. I guess that's just the vibe today.
Now I have to. Yeah, that's also true. Now we're just going to continue having the conversation about it. You got Nate Littlefield behind the glass for us today as we take you up to 2 p.m. talking all things Kings. Also, Stephon Diggs finally gets his way. He's just a guy who is never happy, and he finds himself with C.J. Stroud. In Texas with D'Amico Ryans, with the Texans, and that will be must-see TV for about 2 years before Stephon is annoyed with that situation as well. Tank Dell taking too many catches him, too many targets, and things like that. But first, and most importantly, the Kings take care of business 109-95 in a game where, I'm going to be honest with you, man, it just looked like the Clippers didn't want to be there. And I was talking to some people last night, and I got some sources here, and if things don't go well, and even if they do go well for the Clippers, it's probably the end of the Clippers as they currently stand. And what a weird situation for them. But they looked a bit disinterested for majority of the game.
Yeah, no, Brendan was telling me before the game, I guess without Kawhi Leonard, their defensive rating is completely in the tank. And I mean, I guess they had also just in general slipped as a team here recently. I looked it up, and we asked Law Murray, who we got to talk to yesterday at the game as well. They were first place in the beginning of February, and they've since gone 13-13. They're a team that's just slid down the standings really this past couple months, and the Kings took advantage, which is just not something we've been able to say all year, right? Like, typically the other team has their star out, and we're talking about how the Kings are going to blow it on that night, and that was not the case yesterday at all. They took care of business. That run in the third quarter, I think it was, really separated the game, and they just never looked back. It was a great performance, really, especially the continuation of the defense that we've been talking about these past couple weeks.
Yeah, and whether it was Davion Mitchell or Keegan Murray, and what we do have the call from our guy Kyle
That's
Draper,
right.
By the way. We will definitely play that for you probably multiple times today as Keegan Murray putting guys on posters. Keegan Murray with just, I guess, low-key athleticism. Is that how we would put it? Low-key athleticism?
Is that sneaky athletic?
Sneaky athletic. I think he would fit in that category. And just a great win all around. Sabonis doing what he does. De'Aaron Fox just steadying the ship as well. And it's just a solid win. And now we're finally here, Chris. And we'll talk more, obviously, tomorrow, which is Thursday.
That's right.
And the Kings will have the Knicks. No OG, but they will have the Knicks. And, Chris, we're finally going to have the conversation, and it's finally here, this double gauntlet that we've been talking about for about a month. Now, there are two. There's this one, and then it's Suns-Pelicans or Pelicans-Suns, something like that, which is what, next week?
Next week.
So,
Alan, let me tell you something.
Yeah.
I found this out yesterday.
Okay.
The NBA, the last regular season game for the Kings is next Sunday.
That's crazy.
That's insane.
Next Sunday?
Next Sunday is the Kings versus Portland Trail Blazers on April 14th.
Wow.
That is the last regular season basketball game.
That flew by. It didn't fly by, but it also did fly by.
Yeah.
And at that point in time, they probably still might not have things figured out, right? They might go into that game with that game having implications. So that's how important every game is. And for the Kings to get this W, the way they did on their home floor against a team that they could have easily lost to. And I said early on, they look disinterested. Don't let them get interested. Just put them away, and that's exactly what the Kings did. And now it's time for Frank Fax.
That's right. You can go read post-game recaps over at SacktownSports.com, written by our good friend Frankie Cardicelli, who will not be in today for the Kings Roundtable. Yes. I think we're still efforting to see if Brendan's going to come in today as well. Might have to move that to tomorrow. But let's get into these Frank Fax. Thanks to a group effort that saw five players score 14-plus points, the Sacramento Kings picked up the 109-95 win over the Los Angeles Clippers that capped off a five-game homestand with one of the most significant victories of the year. Alan, does that feel hyperbolic to you? Did yesterday feel like one of the biggest wins of the year?
Based on what's at stake, it definitely was one of the biggest. I don't know about the biggest, but definitely one of.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it was big. I mean, we were talking about yesterday just keeping the momentum going into the road as they're about to face the Knicks and then the Celtics. Mm-hmm. You kind of didn't want to go into that feeling the weight of losing Malik and Kevin. So feeling good on the way down to the East, or I guess over to the East Coast. Definitely really big for them to have, again, five players score 14-plus points. Not many times this season, or especially recently, that they've been able to say that. The Kings' second unit consisting of Davion Mitchell with 14 first-half points, Trey Lyles with 9 first-half points, and Alex Len with 5 rebounds and 3 blocks, including one big one on Russell Westbrook in that first half, helped Sacramento to open a second quarter the second quarter on a 20-4 run that put the Clippers in a 16-point hole, which, again, the Kings never really looked back from. This is the second time in Davion Mitchell's career that he has had 4-plus made threes in a single half. Both games have taken place over the past month. Last night against the Clippers, and then on March 6th when he was 4-4 in the first half against the Lakers. We've been talking about Davion's three-point shooting and how much that's improved and how big that is for the Kings and how they've been able to play recently, and especially just keeping Davion Mitchell on the floor.
Right.
Hitting his shots is a big part of coach's ability to do that. Bench play was key for the Kings on Tuesday as Sacramento racked up 39 bench points in their win, again, with efforts from Trey Lyles, Alex Len, and Davion Mitchell. Sabonis finished yesterday with his third 2020 double-double of the season. That's tied for the most in the NBA. He had 22 points, 20 rebounds, and almost had a triple-double with 9 assists over 35 minutes. He continues his impressive streak of 58 consecutive double-doubles, and he has a league-leading 71 double-doubles this season, which is one away, a single double-double with a week to go, a week and some change to go, to tie Hakeem Olajuwon's single-season record of 72 double-doubles in one season. Just ridiculous from Domantas Sabonis. Keegan Murray has now taken 18 field goal attempts in back-to-back games. During Keegan's career so far, he has never taken 18-plus shots in back-to-back games until last night. That's exactly what we've been talking about with Kevin Huerter, Malik Monk out, Keegan Murray just being more aggressive, looking for a shot. Honestly, I don't think in my mind right now Keegan can take a bad shot.
Yeah.
It's him just putting up volume and not being afraid to look for his looks. It is incredibly important, and that number right there is exactly a representation that Keegan is doing exactly that. Again, 18 field goal attempts in back-to-back games, first time in his entire career. Sacramento outscored LA 46-30 in the paint and held the Clippers to 36% shooting inside the key, which is absolutely incredible. I think I saw last night the Blazers have the lowest paint percentage, and they're somewhere in the mid-50s. So to hold a team to 36% in the restricted area is insane. Kings out-rebounded LA as well, 56-38, while pulling down 20 offensive rebounds last night, which is tied for their second highest total of the season. And I believe the Clippers had a game earlier this year where they won, but they had zero offensive rebounds. And it was the first time in NBA history that a team had ever won a game while having zero offensive rebounds themselves. So clearly that's been a problem for the Clippers all year, is just kind of getting really just murdered on the offensive glass.
And to me, that comes down to effort in some capacity, right? I mean, the Clippers to me, and we sat here on these airwaves and we were worried when they were rolling.
Yeah.
I'm not really worried anymore. It's easy to say when Kawhi isn't playing, but it felt off. I've heard Paul George isn't happy, and you're not probably going to have to deal with the Clippers unless you both get deeper.
Hey, man, we slip
deeper.
Into the 5 seed.
You get into the 5 seed, and we'll talk about what that would take a little bit later. But to me, you said the same thing about Keegan Murray and 18 field goal attempts. Keegan Murray has taken 18 field goal attempts in back-to-back games.
Yeah.
During Keegan Murray's career, he has never taken that until now. I say the same thing. I see 8 threes from Trey Lyles.
Yeah.
Put him up.
Yeah.
Put him up. I mean, there's nobody else to take these shots.
Exactly.
And Trey Lyles, hey, that's why they gave you that money. That's why they brought you back, because yep. they think that you can be a part of this and really help. And you're running out of options yep. here. I mean, we'll get into Davion and his ridiculously hot shooting and all of that jazz. But at the same time, he might not have that every single day. So somebody, every single day, there's going to have to be somebody else to step up and yep. replace what you're missing with Kevin Huerter and Malik Monk. And last night, it was Trey Lyles and Davion Mitchell. And of course, I mean, Sabonis even getting to 22, that's
crazy.
That's more than he normally yep. does, right? So all of that is good. And most importantly, Chris, back to your stat from yesterday, De'Aaron Fox got the magic number,
seven assists. That's right. Right on the dot, I think, right? He finished mm-hmm. with 7 assists. That now moves the Kings to 21-3 on the season when De'Aaron gets 7-plus assists. So I think that's definitely the number to look out for the rest of this year, is De'Aaron's sharing the wealth. And then, yeah, hopefully, like you said, they just have somebody else. You're going to need at least probably two, maybe three guys mm-hmm. Knocking down some threes to just help the offense stay afloat, really.
When we return, we are opening up the phone lines, 916-339-1140. If you want to be a part of the conversation, all guests and callers, join us from the Folsom Lake Honda hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop.
Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
The Kings take care of business 109-95. And one of the most important things, and we have some sound coming a little bit later, one of the most important things that Coach Mike Brown talked about in his post-game presser last night was that we're learning that we don't have to win by scoring 120 points or more. We can win in different ways, and I think that's incredibly important, because as we saw during the playoffs last season, and what he said as well, is that you're not always going to have the points ready for you. You're not always just going to be making every shot and things like that. And this is what he had to say. We got the sound a little bit later. The thing I like about it is how you win in the playoffs. You don't win in the playoffs by scoring 125 points. That's fool's gold.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I do love to hear that. I think that, you know, it's great to have that in your locker, the ability to know that, hey, if we need to get into a shootout, we definitely can do that. But it's being versatile. It's the ability to say, okay, you know, yeah, look at the playoff series against the Warriors last year. The shots didn't fall in the same way that they did during the regular season. I think the Kings did a good job of adjusting on the fly and still figuring out how to scrap out victories in that series. But, you know, sometimes that was just the first round. Who knows what happens in the second round or the third round? Mike Brown's talked about how, you know, again, realistically, they're not going to win a championship this year, but it's about building and learning habits that'll help you later on in the future. And this is one of those things of learning and understanding there's more than one way of winning a basketball game, and that is on the defensive end. And it's not pretty. It's not what gets you into the NBA. Mm-hmm. Definitely you have to show out on offense to kind of get your foothold in the NBA. But, you know, defense is it's a cliche, but it wins championships. And I think that's all Mike Brown has tried to instill into this team. And the fact that they're now winning games while playing good defense, I think is the best proof of concept you need to get these guys to buy in even more.
Last season, obviously, Kevin Huerter coined the name the Beam Team.
That's right.
And there was the theme. And this is a bit of a different theme. And I don't know that they are taking this on as a theme, but he said it twice now from practice 2 days ago, and then last night in the pregame presser. And I might get this tattooed, Chris, because this is a bar.
Oh, that's right. You were telling me
about this. This is a bar right here. Adversity brings opportunity. That is Coach Mike Brown. I don't know if that's a Coach Mike Brown original. Maybe I'm late on that, and it came from somebody else, and he adopted it. But adversity brings opportunity, and that's opportunity for one Trey Lyles, who played 26 minutes, 15 points, 3 of 8 from the three-point line, 6 of 11 from the field. Adversity brings opportunity. Davion Mitchell, 5 of 10 from the field, 4 of 7 from three-point range, and Coach was very open. He said, well, that's because Davion's playing. He said there was a time where Keon was playing well and Davion got out and couldn't get in the ball game. So he's not even and I think that's another part of this theme, that he never gives off that he's incredibly impressed. He always gives off that I knew that you had this in you type of swag. Yeah. You know what I mean?
That's what he says to De'Aaron all the time. Mm-hmm. He's like, I'm not going to, you know, gas up Fox when he has 28 points, because he says – that's what I expect you to do,
right?
And you should do that every night.
So I'm just excited for the Kings and how they went on to win and the way that they won. But somebody on the text line, Chris, is not too excited.
Oh, no.
916, this is our guy Folsom Mike. I'm sorry, but I'm bored with the Kings' style of play. All these threes make them a make-or-miss team, not a winning style unless you have Steph Curry, although I'm impressed they won last night. They made one more three on 15 more attempts. You would have guessed they lost by 10 points, but dominated boards and had a ton of second chance points. Not pretty. Well, Folsom Mike, there's almost a little bit of just going back and forth there, because this is kind of the new version of them.
Yeah.
Who's going to penetrate, right? Whenever we have these conversations about the three shooting, that's how this team is built.
Yeah.
So, especially with Malik Monk out, and to a lesser degree, Kevin Huerter, who is really good at back cutting and things like that, that's just what it is. And I told, and I said to you, Chris, last night, I said, man, it does look like they're just running the same thing, and people are just chucking up threes. That's just how they're built right now. I mean, Davion is really the only other guy besides De'Aaron with the ability to penetrate.
Yeah, totally. And I mean, they kind of have to chuck it up.
And just real quick, whenever we have these conversations, it's as if we just ignore Sabonis, because he doesn't shoot threes.
No, he doesn't.
So there's a whole avenue and dimension.
Those are 12 shots right there
that are not threes. Besides, he did take, what did he take?
Right, he took three last night.
He never does. Yeah, never. But we can't ignore the fact that they do have an inside presence with Sabonis. Yes. Outside of that, sure. But now you're missing Kevin Huerter and Malik Monk, so this is just what it is.
Yeah, also, I mean, if these guys are going to continue to be, a prolific offense as well, which they even then, they haven't really been that. They only put up 109 points yesterday, which is not to their normal standard. You have to take threes. I mean, threes are worth more than two, especially in today's NBA. Everybody is going to try and take, and Mike Brown said it the other day, especially now with where they're at, they're going to lean a lot more towards being closer to that 43-point attempt number than that 30 that they've been here kind of recently before Malik and Kevin got hurt, because you just need a little bit more of that variance. Like, if the Kings are just going to get twos and twos and twos, that's fine, but they might lose the scoring battle. They just need to hit threes right now, and that's why it's so huge that you have seven threes or whatever they finished with. I believe it was seven threes off the bench from Davion and Trey. Mm-hmm. They have to shoot threes right now to keep the offense afloat.
I would feel the opposite. I would feel optimistic, because even without Kawhi, you're telling me that this team beat the Clippers 109-95 without Malik Monk, without Kevin Huerter. Yes, they were missing Kawhi, and they shot 28% from three.
Yep.
And it was never really close.
Yep.
How could you not feel good about that? A couple weeks ago, a month ago, whatever it was, that's probably an L.
Yeah.
That's probably an L. Yeah, there's a limit to, okay, when they shoot this poorly, they can't win.
Yep.
But I think the lower you get, that's
the
really
better
true.
Sign that it is.
Exactly. Yeah. And okay, if most teams these days shoot under 20% from three, they're probably not going to win.
No.
That's just what it is right
now. Exactly. Yeah, 100%. I mean, if you're not making shots, it's tough to win. You know, at the end of the day, the game is to hit more score more points than the other team. And if you're not scoring, it's going to be hard to win. But if you can figure out how to win when you're not scoring, that means that you're playing two sides of the ball. Mm-hmm. And that's a huge, huge step of improvement for this team, and definitely not something that you should be afraid of or not lean into. This is absolutely a lot better for the Kings to play in this style of basketball, and it's going to be fascinating to see them play the Knicks, because we saw them play a version of Knicks basketball when they came here to Sacramento. But seeing the Kings now leaning more towards that Knicks style of basketball, how ugly is that going to get on Thursday? That could maybe be like a, you know, we've seen the Knicks get into some 80 to 85 games. I wonder if maybe Thursday is going to have that in store.
Coming up next, Davion Mitchell has been ridiculous, but just how ridiculous, we'll explain. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
This is Sacktown Sports.
Keegan
Murray.
There you go.
Young Keegan.
Young Keegan. I can't wait to play that sound, but I'm going to keep teasing it.
No, you can't.
But I'm going to keep teasing it because we're going to play it so much.
I got to find it.
Once we recruit some help,
do you think?
No. I'm talking about the actual... I'm talking about what happened last night.
Gotcha.
Not from the promo.
Gotcha.
No one is going to take a deep dive.
I'm going to ask our listeners, mm-hmm. anywhere, Twitter, tweet at Chris, tweet at Alan, tweet at the station, in the YouTube chat. If you find the clip that's used in the NBC promo, NBC Sports promo, where Draper goes, "Young Keegan!"
They don't believe it. Yeah. That's what I need.
Yeah, we need that as a drop.
That's what I need. We're looking for it. We can get it, but it would have to. We'd have to record it from a different audio source.
I can do that. I just don't know where to go. I don't know where.
All you have to do is fire up one of the games.
On YouTube games. TV, and then search every commercial for...
Exactly.
So that's my issue.
Take that long. Do you want to grind or not?
No.
Okay.
Not
fair
at all.
I like that.
Yeah. Well, Davion Mitchell was grinding last night, and he did his thing. The way he's been shooting the three ball has been ridiculous. This season, he's shooting 35.9% from three. Since the new year, he's been shooting 42% from three. In the last seven games, he's shooting 61%.
I thought you said he was shooting 65% from three. I said there's no way.
No, 61% the last seven games.
There we go. Okay, I was like, hold on, Davion Mitchell. I know it's been good, but even that's insane, and it's probably been on like three or four attempts per game. Mm-hmm. You know, it's good to see Davion, and I think you mentioned it earlier, and it really did. Shine a light on the fact that he's comfortable knowing he's going to, like, he's solidified in the rotation at this point. Like, there was a constant looking over his shoulder to say, oh my gosh, Keon's getting, Duarte's getting minutes. Colby Jones at the beginning of the season was getting minutes. It's never felt like Davion has had a clear runway of not having to look over his shoulder, and especially not being not forced, but like in the position they're in now where they need his scoring. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in the past it was, you know, Davion, you can spot up in the corner, and if the ball comes to you, sure, you can make something happen. But now you're really getting to kind of see a bit more of Davion stretching his legs a bit. And I think that's really important. He just hasn't really gotten, with besides the spare opportunity when De'Aaron misses time, mm-hmm. hasn't really gotten a lot of opportunities so far in his career to kind of feel comfortable in any sort of role. And it feels like right now you're kind of seeing him get his sea legs a bit. And it's really cool to watch.
Now that begs the question, because we've all dealt with it in different sports, whether you played in Little League, CYO, or whatever it is. You know what I like to say, Chris, if you've never been benched, you're probably still playing
That's
a sport
right
now. And now it begs the question as to, and this is why Coach Mike Brown, reigning Coach of the Year, gets paid the big bucks and all of that. But now it begs the question, how do you know where that line is to where it's, okay, you're getting spotty opportunities, but if you got more, maybe you'd play better, but because you're not playing well in those spotty opportunities, I can't put you out there for a longer period of time. And if it wasn't for, let's say Davion, and he's had chances in the past, more chances in the past, don't get me wrong, but let's say that Davion just stays on a heater. It's only seven more games.
Sure.
Very possible he stays on a heater.
Sure.
How do you look at that as a front office? Do you look at that as a hot stretch where he's been given more opportunity, or do you look at it and say, man, maybe if he got more opportunity, we could have got more of this all season long? I don't know.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a tough decision. I mean, ultimately, I think they need to decide what they want from Davion Mitchell when everyone's like, I think this isn't really a fair, unless this is going to be, unless, you know, you're like, hey, maybe if we move on from Malik, maybe it's not so bleak.
Sure.
But I think you can't really view this stretch as, you know, oh, this might be what Davion's role is going to be, even, you know, add Malik to it, because I think that those two just naturally are going to, you know, I Malik is going to do a lot of the things that Davion's going to pick up right now. So, like, having the ball in his hands, running pick and roll, a lot of that stuff is what Malik does when he's out there, and Davion's kind of forced to stand in the corner, and it doesn't really make much sense to, you know, Malik's just so much better at that pick and roll. It doesn't make a lot of sense to run those with Davion out there. So it's kind of tough to evaluate in that, in with how it is now.
You're just taking it day by day.
I think you have to. I think that it's, you know, you've seen a large sample size of Davion now. He's been around here for 3 years. You take it as a development point, but at the end of the day, I think you still have to factor in who you've seen him be and determine it from there. If you've liked what you saw and you feel like he is building towards the guy that you want him to be, you bring him back. But if you feel like, you know, maybe he's never going to have the situation perfect here that he needs to ultimately thrive to become the player he needs to be, then maybe you look more for somebody who is a role player. Davion's still young in his career. He's trying to blossom. He's trying to maximize his potential. He might not want to be, in the same way we talk about Malik not wanting to be a backup point guard, Davion might look around and say, hey, man, like, I want to see where my career can go if I really take a shot on myself. And the Kings might have to, you know, settle for a Monte Morris or somebody who just kind of knows this is what I'm here for.
So why don't you kind of explain to everybody, because the club exercised this season and next season.
Okay.
He's a restricted free agent at the end of next season.
Okay, gotcha.
So he will be back.
He will be back.
It's just a matter of when the trade talk comes around.
Right.
Hey, at that point, you've been with him so long, you probably have a conversation.
Absolutely. And also, it's, you know, also going into this offseason. I mean, again, we've had conversations, especially recently, about this team getting better and making a move in the offseason, which we're not fully there yet, so we're not going to dive deep into it. But Davion is one of the young pieces that this team has. And, you know, they're not going to, you know, Malik Monk's a free agent. You can't trade him. Keegan Murray, they've made it clear he's untouchable. Davion Mitchell is their next young asset who's also on an expiring, and you can get a one-year tryout with him if you're the team that trades for him, and then decide if you're going to sign him again. You know, he might be one of the prime, and he's a low salary as well, so he's just kind of a nice sweetener to any deal. He might be one of the people that the Kings look to move this offseason.
Yeah, well, he's doing himself a lot of favors right now, and whether it's with Sacramento or with another team moving forward, all we know is we need all of them buckets right now.
Yeah.
And
he's playing great.
He has been balling, and for me, it's not just the three-pointers. It's also just he boogied a couple games ago. He didn't end up taking the shot, but just his handle, he just looks confident. Yeah. And, you know, he spoke about it as well and just said that the shot feels good, all the work that he's been putting in. He was my dog, so I'm going to take that one. He was my dog in the dog segment, and a couple other people on the SAC chat as well. Shout out to the SAC chat. And it's, you need to fill Malik's shoes somehow, some way, through different people. And Malik Monk being out is allowing Davion the opportunity. Yep. And he's been taking advantage of it so far. We'll see if that continues. This is from Deuce Mason. Davion Mitchell comes in and buries a corner three. This is from last night. He is shooting 49% on corner threes this season.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, that's him putting in that work. You know, that's where a lot of guys make their money. That's where P.J. Tucker makes his money. If you can hit that corner three and be that spot-up shooter, every single team in the NBA will take that. And then if you that is exactly what Davion needs to do if he's not going to be the primary ball handler on the other side or on that side. He can press on defense, and then if he can be a reliable spot-up shooter, this man's going to have a long career, and that is exactly what he needs to do is hit wide-open corner threes, 49%. It doesn't get better than that.
And I'll tell you what, we saw a lot of, and we'll get more into the Knicks preview tomorrow, but we saw a lot of Keon. That was in the height of the Keon craze.
Yes.
And not to say that that's gone away, but even Coach Mike Brown has told us, hey, let's pump the brakes a little bit. He's right. A young guy and still getting his feet wet in this league. Davion has a huge opportunity, right? And it's on a big stage. It's national. They'll have Keon on him, don't get me wrong, on Jalen Brunson, but you get Davion in there.
Yep.
Going off night on Brunson, who balled out last game, some combination of off night and Ellis Island and Davion shooting
Ellis
like
Island
this
in New York too.
In New York, shooting like this for Davion would be crazy to do it in another game.
Yeah.
But if he does it, it bodes well for everybody.
Everybody.
Well for everybody. When we return, continuing the conversation, an aggressive Keegan is a good Keegan. And yes, you've waited long enough. We got the call from Draper. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. Be sure to join us, and I'll put it to you like this. You're not going to want to miss us at Fieldhouse American Sports Pub. Man. Monday, I may or may not bring the fam. I might bring the fam.
Way.
I might bring the fam.
Wow.
So if you want to kick it with Chris and I,
yes,
a couple other people from Sacktown Sports will be there.
Brendan was out there.
Chris
last
is signing autographs. That's maybe you can convince me. I will do pictures.
I will definitely do pictures and definitely do autographs.
I will definitely do both. This is my dream. Nate, are you gonna be there?
Probably not.
Nate's
right?
gonna be there.
There's 50 things going on in here. I don't even
know
what you
I'm
just
like,
asked.
Fieldhouse American Sports Pub.
I'll be there.
Monday, we're going to have a good time. Chris Verlade will be there.
Yeah,
Carmichael
right.
Dave will be
that's
there.
That's right. That's
a
confirmed.
Lot of people will be there.
Confirmed.
Jason Ross
this
will
is
be
this
there.
This is this Monday?
As well. That's
no,
right.
Well, yes, this coming
this coming Monday.
Monday.
Yeah. Joe Jaros, our guy, will
yes,
be there
he'll
as
be there.
Well. So you
he
don't
promised.
Want to miss it. We're looking at, and I'm going to tell you, I was looking at the menu. So, Chris, they had something, and it was very similar to what we were discussing not
really?
Too long ago
oh, that's right.
for KFC.
That's right.
And they have essentially a chizza.
Yeah, we were talking about the chizza the other day from KFC, which is like it's a chicken slab, but it's got cheese and pepperoni on top
yes,
of it, essentially.
Yes, and I'm pulling it up right now. A pepperoni chicken sandwich. Grilled chicken
okay.
breast.
Okay.
Pepperoni, melted provolone. Cheese, mayo, lettuce, and fire roasted peppers on a French baguette.
So it's a chizza sandwich,
so
essentially.
I'm assuming that they did it first.
Right.
You don't just fire
wow.
something up.
We're going to the original chizza.
If you want the original chizza, also
crazy.
Known as the pepperoni chicken sandwich, come check us out. But I'm looking here at this menu, guys. It looks great.
The
prices
I got the
look
wings.
Great.
They were fine.
Mac and cheese with some bacon on it. Throw some bacon on that. Chili cheese fries, Gilroy garlic fries. You don't want to miss it. Chris and I will
yes.
be there
yes.
taking pictures. If you want to know what a true zant looks like. And really know and really know what we look like in real time. Check us out on Monday.
There's also going to be basketball on, too.
There also will be, but we don't know. We don't know as the final four. And by the way, did you say DJ Burns shut down at Applebee's? Did you see that?
I did see that, yeah.
So that's going to be good stuff. And I know, Chris, you're looking forward to it as well.
Oh, yeah. No, we were there. Me and Whitey were out there. What was that on Saturday? And it was a great time, you know. Yeah, Brendan Nunes showed up. We just
Brendan to show up.
Yeah, I got Brendan to show up. Well, I hear that's tough these days.
Well, yeah, well, it is tough these days. I've definitely heard that. But you know who has been tough
these days?
That has been Davion Mitchell. Ooh. And this is Davion on how they are embracing the physicality.
I think we're just embracing the physicality. I think we love it. I mean, we're helping each other, one another, being there for each other, taking charges. I mean, Keon had 6 fouls tonight, so he's being physical. I mean, it was a lot of ticky-tack fouls, but I mean, I think we're being physical. We're just getting ready for the playoffs.
This is also Davion talking about how he's been feeling offensively and how he's been, I guess, feeling good right now.
Malik was a key piece in our offense, scoring the ball, facilitating. I mean, I just kind of listen to the coaches and take what the defense give me. They kind of tell me to just be aggressive. You got to be more aggressive. I mean, those shots are going, the points are going, so be more aggressive throughout the game.
And he certainly has been aggressive, Chris, and it has been to a huge positive for the Kings. As we get into Keegan Murray, and don't worry, it's coming. As we get into Keegan Murray taking 18 field goals, and he has never done that before in back-to-back games until now. That's Keegan knowing the moment, and that's Keegan understanding. And dare I say, Chris, I mean, I'm talking about baby Styles here when, you know, she's almost walking. She's taking about 2 to 3 steps. I think I showed you the video. She's starting to talk a little bit, and you just see them growing. You just see them growing, and Keegan Murray has been growing as well, and it's been beautiful to watch.
Yeah, I mean, it's been fantastic to watch all season, and I think the big thing from Keegan's game yesterday is, you know, it's another game where it's not about his threes. He only hit 2 threes yesterday. It was a lot of the, you know, you had him taking a couple of those almost patent pending at this point, those step back jumpers from mid-range. And
like
then,
Kemba Walker like, talking about March Madness.
I'm not going to go that far.
The Kemba special.
I'm not going to go that far, but he's working on it. He'll get there one day. And then you see him attacking the rim, too. Like, he had 2 really big finishes. Obviously, the huge one over Zubac, which brought the house down and made Draper almost fall out of his seat, it sounded like. You know, those are the moments that get me the most excited about Keegan. Of course, him taking the 18 shot attempts is fantastic. Him having, you know, close to 20 points in these games, that's fantastic. But to me, it's the diversity of it all. It's the fact that he's getting some shots at the rim, getting some shots in the mid-range, and continuing to attack from beyond the perimeter. And Keegan talked about it the other day. Whitey asked him, and you know, we can't figure out if Keegan was serious or not, but it does seem like he's working on his playmaking. Yesterday, he had a nice little dump off to Sabonis.
That was nice.
That Sabonis definitely appreciated, kind of gave him some love for. I think that you're just seeing everything start to click here with Keegan at the end of this season. And, you know, it might have been forced on him a bit because of the situation. But, you know, that is one of the very, very few positives about the Kings being so injured right now is I don't know if Keegan would do this if it wasn't. If the situation hadn't called for it. Well, I don't know if he would naturally just recognize this moment and say, I need to step up. I think he had to have been told, hey, man, it's not an option anymore. You have to do this.
Well, there's the Davion piece of this where he wasn't given the opportunities, right?
Yeah.
There's the Keegan part of it, and now he is. There's a Keegan part of this to where maybe subconsciously or just how he's wired without being forced to do this, thinking, okay, well, Malik's shots are gone and now Kevin Herter's shots are gone. It's got to come from somewhere. If he wasn't put in this position, I have no clue if we would have got here this season. And if you really want to put a positive spin on it, if ultimately you didn't think the Kings were going to end in a parade anyway, not to say we don't want, obviously we wish that Malik was out there. But if you think it was going to end maybe in a deeper playoff run, but not in a championship, then is it really so bad to put Keegan in a situation where he's being forced to maybe be a little bit uncomfortable on the offensive end and take more shots than he's used to taking and being forced that way?
Are you saying they're making the uncomfortable comfortable?
They're definitely making the uncomfortable comfortable, and that is exactly, I think, the little straws you can grasp in a situation where, hey, who knows, man? Maybe they lose to the Knicks and, and this thing goes south and they drop. At least you can say, well, when we look at the checklist, what did we get out of this season? Here's Mike Brown on Keegan, and he just had a lot to kind of go over, and here he is.
Keegan, you know, like I said, last year Keegan was primarily a catch and shoot, 3-point shooter. And this year he's shown the ability to defend at a high level, to rebound at a high level, and to score from all three levels. And you're right, you know, last year when we talked to him about going to the rim, he didn't need to fade and shoot a running hook. Or he's so strong. He's a big man, and he can play with some force. And it's starting to show. And again, we need that with Malik and Kevin out. We need him to step up and to score from all three levels and do it with some force. Because you know, anytime he goes to the rim, he's a capable finisher. While getting fouled, you know, his next step now, you know, everybody's jumping at every. All he's got to do is look at the rim, and guys are flying. When he drives, he looks at the rim, guys are flying, and now he's got to be able to have some gamesmanship within his game. And if he gets a guy up in the air, shit, go right into his body to draw that foul. Because you got the guy out and finish at the same time. He still kind of pump fakes and steps through and lets the defense off the hook. But he's definitely heading in the right direction. He's made a ton of progress, and it is much needed by our team right now.
All right. Without further ado, let's get it going, Nate. We won't make the people wait any longer. And it's really just me. I think I might be the most excited from this. I was just excited to see Malik's reaction, though. But here it is, Draper's call of Keegan Murray's young crazy Keegan dunk last night.
Powell got caught up. It's sloppy right now.
I love that.
He just got a body. The what gets me is the sloppy. It's sloppy now.
Well, because there was a lot. And then he gets it and then, I just love how he didn't finish the word.
Yeah. His thought.
It went from Murray to oh.
That's how it had to go.
That was exciting.
That's how it had to go.
That was outstanding. We will run that back when we return. Continuing the conversation. And De'Aaron Fox, his steals. Swipa, ever since Chris had something to say about his nickname, he's gotten a steal, and I think every game after that. Also, putting the West into perspective and what has to be done to stay out of the play-in. Stiles and Watkins, Sackdown Sports.